From the WLRN studios at the Miami Herald, I'm Christine DiMatte. When there's a hurricane coming, people with special medical needs are supposed to be able to evacuate to shelters that can take care of them. For some people in Miami-Dade County during Hurricane Irma, that did not happen. WLRN's Kate Stein looks at why.
Before Hurricane Irma, Gloria Gitti evacuated from her home near Golden Glades. Gitti's 76 and was looking for a shelter where she could stay with her two adult children, Nellie and Jose. They have cerebral palsy.
El cuerpo que no pueden caminar bien. Mentalmente están afectados un poco también.
They can't walk well, she says, and it affects their minds a little too. After stopping at five different shelters, the family ended up at Miami Edison Senior High School on the border between Liberty City and Little Haiti. Jose is 32 and uses a wheelchair. Nellie is 38 and relies on a walker. As her mom talks, Nellie sits quietly at the cafeteria table and draws shaky shapes that look sort of like letters.
Aquí estoy mejor que donde estaba.
Gloria says Edison is a better shelter than some of the others they saw. Staff put the family next to the bathroom, so it's easier for her to take Nellie and Jose there. But there aren't any cots or nurses or aides to help Gloria take care of her children. So for three nights, Jose sleeps on the mattress they brought, and Gloria takes him and his sister into the women's bathroom when they need to go. She and Nellie sleep sitting up.
Unbelievable.
Anthony Whitfield is one of the volunteers at the shelter. He's not there in an official capacity. He works with senior citizens and came to Edison when several of his seniors decided to evacuate. Now, he's sitting at the front desk with a couple of county employees and gave one of his extra shirts to an elderly man with a large blood stain on his sleeve. Whitfield says he doesn't understand the lack of first aid and why there aren't blankets or cots.
I just can't stand it when a senior citizen got to sleep on a hard floor. So this is bad times for a lot of people where they just can't take no more.
A lot of people at the shelter are elderly, low-income, or homeless. A handful are in wheelchairs, and some have mental health issues. Whitfield says one evacuee attempted suicide by taking pills.
Fire and rescue said that we cannot transport them. We wanted to transport them straight to the hospital, but they can't have any cars on the streets.
Instead, he says, the man's sleeping off the pills in the principal's office and being watched by rescue workers who responded to the emergency call. Ambulances came to Edison at least five times in the 4 days people sheltered there. The county employees at Edison come from different departments that don't usually deal with emergency management. IT, for example. But they're trained to staff shelters during storms. There are also police officers and National Guardsmen, and principals, security guards, and kitchen and custodial staff from Miami-Dade County Public Schools.
We make the best that we can, and we'll be over this in another 2 days.
But as the storm reached its peak in Miami, and it seemed like food and water were running low, many people who had cars left. Edison wasn't supposed to be sheltering people who are elderly and medically vulnerable, says Kurt Sommerhoff, Miami-Dade's emergency management director. We talked after a county meeting debriefing Irma. Sommerhoff says Edison was opened as a general population shelter, and like all county general population hurricane shelters, cots aren't guaranteed.
We do provide special needs cots to the medical evacuation centers and deploy those in advance.
He says it's not yet clear why so many vulnerable people ended up at Edison. The county has an emergency evacuation assistance registry that medically vulnerable people are supposed to sign up for well before hurricanes hit. Sommerhoff says the county gets the word out through its health department and home health care companies.
The big thing is people need to get pre-registered so we can understand how to use our limited assets to meet the needs of the population.
After the storm, when WLRN contacted Gloria Gitti, the woman who came to the shelter with her two disabled adult children, she said it was the first time she'd heard of the program. When people register, they give details of their special needs. The county assigns them to an appropriate shelter and arranges for transportation if necessary. There are three types of hurricane shelters where medically vulnerable people might go. First, hurricane evacuation centers. Those are run-of-the-mill shelters that serve anyone. They're supposed to have fire rescue workers on staff. Then, medical evacuation centers. They have staff from Jackson Memorial Hospital and the County Health Department. They help with things like eating, changing oxygen tanks, and treating wounds. For Irma, the county opened one of those. Finally, medical management facilities for people who need life-sustaining equipment, are confined to bed, or are in critical condition. Sommerhoff says about 2,200 people were pre-registered before Irma. Basically the same number called at the last minute for help. By the time some of them requested services, shuttle buses and designated vans and ambulances had stopped responding because winds had reached tropical storm force.
And then it's no longer safe for us to operate. At that point, we have to recommend to them that if you have any kind of medical challenges, you know, to have to, you know, basically shelter in place, that their option at that point is 911.
Not getting to an appropriate shelter also creates problems for hospitals. Dr. Joe Scott is chair of the emergency department at West Kendall Baptist Hospital. During and after Irma, he says, people were coming in with issues that weren't necessarily medical emergencies.
But they needed assistance, whether they needed oxygen because they ran out or they needed to plug in an appliance. And frankly, the hospital was completely full. So we had to find extra space where they could basically cool off and use electricity or use oxygen, but they didn't exactly need high medical care.
Luckily, the hospital had enough extra oxygen, and staff cleared out a stretcher storage room and put couches inside. But Scott says that might not always be possible, and emergency planners need to take that into account as they prepare for the next storm.
Every one of us has an 80-year-old grandmother or grandfather, a tio or a tia, who is not going to plan to the last minute, should possibly or should be in a medical needs shelter, but in their 80 years has never been to a shelter and they're not going to start now. So even though we can plan and we can announce, the reality is these patients are there.
Scott says as technology has advanced, more people with serious medical conditions live at home instead of in skilled care facilities. And emergency planners need to think about how to support them and not just in shelters.
Can we have 1, 2, 3 specifically designated pharmacies in the community that at all cost we're going to open up 4 hours after the storm passes? Or you run a medical supply store that supplies oxygen, okay? What is your plan for opening up 4 hours after the storm passes?
Sommerhoff, the county emergency management director, says one thing that clearly needs to be improved before the next storm is communication. Which shelters are open when and what services they provide. That's also what Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez said at the Irma debrief meeting.
We also need to do a better job with the school board saying, okay, this is the shelter, and this is where this group of people is going, this is where this group of people are going, this is where this group of people are going.
Miami-Dade County is examining its shelter and evacuation procedures as part of a comprehensive review of what worked and what didn't during Hurricane Irma. I'm Kate Stein in Miami.
And this is WLRN News. I'm Christine DiMattei.